All right, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Are you guys excited to be here this morning? Yeah. Oh my gosh, I was having such a good time. I was had to do some things during the worship time, but then that last song, Marcy, I was like, oh man, God, come on my soul. I was speaking to myself, come on my soul. There's a lion in each of us that have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. I just got this revelation. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, talking about Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus being in us. We don't want to hold it down. The Holy Spirit wants to get out. He wants to get out, right? So it's not just for me, but it's for other people too. And so, come on, my soul, don't hold back the Holy Spirit and what He wants to do. I'm so full with hope this morning. I don't know if you can tell. So full of hope. Because I'm going to talk about a little bit, I'm talking about hope, but I'm going to start off with talking about hopelessness. There's people in this world that probably people we know that are struggling with hope, with not having any hope. They're looking to things in this world that can bring them hope, and they're not finding lasting hope. You know, I was reading, I was looking online, and I found this teenager's post on Reddit, and I want to read it to you. It says, I'm a teenager, and I've been depressed not only because of personal things, but also my surroundings and everything that's happened in the world. I've lost hope in the world and humanity. How am I supposed to watch the news every day and look at everything that's happening and still feel hope? I'm supposed to do college applications, but it feels silly that because of the future seems so unimportant. I'm starting to feel like people who have a positive mindset are just, I don't know what this word is, are just privileged people that only focus on their own personal life. How can I still have faith in the world and humanity? Is there a way to find hope in the midst of all of this? And I read that letter, that post in Reddit, and my heart just broke for that teen. I don't know who that teenager is, but my heart just broke for them because I'm going, yeah, I totally get where you're coming from. If you're looking at this world to bring you hope, to bring you some measure of a glimmer of, we're not gonna find it, because it's fleeting. It's fleeting, right? It may for a moment may give us some bit of excitement, but then eventually it fades. And if our hope is in this world, we are gonna be sorely disappointed. Sorely disappointed. So I can hear some of us saying, and even for me too, like, okay, that's great. I know the answer. The answer is Jesus, right? The answer is Jesus, right? I learned that in Sunday school. Whenever they have questions, the answer is Jesus, right? And yes, the answer is Jesus. But really, when the rubber meets the road, do we really go to Him? Is He really our anchor? Is He really the one that we are putting our hope in? Or is it just something to get the question right? And that's my challenge for us today. That we would go beyond what's convenient, what's the right answer, what's the correct answer, and then go, okay, let's move on. I want to hear Brando and what he's going to share today. So let's move on. Let me get some lunch. No, for this moment, and then it's time, and I'm going to have a couple guys come up and share. I want us to really think about, really, where is my hope? And is my hope anchored in Jesus? You know, I know for me, if someone were to ask me, where is my hope? And not like up here or in church, but if I'm just having a conversation with someone like over lunch or over coffee, what would I say to them? And I'm hoping that I wouldn't say this. okay, that my hope is found in the goodness and kindness of people. I'm hoping that my finances will get better and that inflation will go down. I'm hoping in the material possessions that I have now. I just bought solar panels, and so my hope is in solar panels, right? I hope I don't say that I'm hoping to stay healthy or that my health will rebound and get better. I'm hoping that I don't say my hope is founded in that I go to church and that I serve and that I give money. That's my hope, because those things can all be shaken. All those areas can be shaken. So then what are we supposed to say? Again, getting away from that whole correct Sunday school answer of Jesus, what is the right answer? And the right answer is, what does God say we should put our hope in? What does God say we should put? Who does God say we should put our hope in? So I want to bring up these three verses. So Psalm 42:5. Why, my soul, are you so downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow, not just be filled, overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the last one, Jeremiah 29:11, very famous one that we know. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. He's saying, this is where you find your hope. Not in the world, not in the seven mountains, if you guys have heard that term. Not in the seven mountains, not even in the religion mountain. But it's in God, who is the source, the foundation of our hope. That's where he wants us to focus. That's where he wants us to anchor ourselves in. Now, there are three types. I'm going to talk fast because and this message is short. I'm almost done. This message is short because I want to get these guys up to come up and share their testimonies. But there's three types of hopes that I want to share with you all. The first one, well, there's wishful hope, there's expectant hope, and there's certain hope. Okay, the first one, the wishful hope, is something that you don't even do, and you're hoping that something will happen. Okay, so it's like, well, I'm speeding, but I hope I don't get a ticket, okay? I didn't study enough, but I hope I get good grades. I hope I pass, okay? And the last one is my favorite. I hope, I didn't do anything, but I hope Ida makes my favorite meal today, and especially one that includes dairy, okay? I love dairy. I don't want her to make the lasagna that has no dairy in it. I want dairy in my lasagna. That's wishful hoping, because my daughter is allergic, so I don't want to do that, but wishful hoping, okay? That's the first one, and that's the one that God is like, no, that's not what I'm talking about, okay? I'm not talking about wishful hoping. The second one is expectant hope. Again, I'm going to use Eliana. She, this summer, she decided to plant sunflower seeds, and she wanted to have these huge sunflowers grow up in our yard. So she went out, she planted, she watered every day, and they grew up. But even with all of that, even with understanding how biology works and all that stuff, every single seed that we plant doesn't always grow into a plant, right? I mean, you could ask a farmer that. Does every single plant that you seed that you plant, does it grow up into a plant? And no, some of them don't, for whatever reason. But there's an expectancy of that hope, of that happening. And that's this other type of hope where we do something, we're engaged, and we do it right, but still, we're not God. We can't make it happen. And so you're just kind of hoping that you'll get a plan. That's not the hope that God's talking about. That's not the hope he's talking about. This is the hope he's talking about. The certain, certain hope. Where you go into a situation and you know, it's not how a lot of times we define hope. It's, no, I have hope. I have encouragement. I have a better look, outlook of life because I know this is going to happen because of God's truths, because of his promises, and that we hold on to him, and that even though we go through hardships and hard times and we under circumstances that we don't fully understand or even know a way out of, we can say with confidence, with faith, with hope that God is going to see me through. I think about Pastor Sandra. This is what she shared with us, right? When she was going through all that stuff with her husband getting sick and being in the hospital, and then his life, and then he eventually passed away, she was talking about Psalm 23, how she said, "The Lord is my shepherd." So even going through something as critical and as tough as that, she said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? Because you are with me. She talked about that in her message. And what she imparted to us, Pastor Barry said this, faith, but I also feel like it was hope. That yes, no matter what I go through in life, no matter what gets thrown my way, whether it's a job situation, whether it's my finances, whether it's stuff with my kids, whether it's things, relationships, doesn't matter because God is there. He is with me. And I can go through the valley of the shadow of death and not fear because you are with me every step of the way. So she brought it. If you guys hadn't seen that one, I would encourage you to watch it again. And I know the volume levels kind of go up and down because there are times when she was like, and then what is she saying? Turn it up. Don't forget to turn it down again because she's going to come loud again. But she brought it and it was like, wow, yeah. I could feel the impartation of faith and hope coming onto me. Another one was Pastor Barry. He spoke about the eternal perspective. And he spoke about this even when his mom she had passed away. And he's sharing about the eternal perspective, about the kingdom of heaven. And I remember sitting there as he was talking, and I remember going, oh my gosh, you know what he's doing right now? Is that he is describing the invisible kingdom, the kingdom of God that is even more real than this, what we're living in, and he's making it more real to us. He's describing to us, this is the way Christians need to live. This is the way Christians, God calls us to live. As his sons and daughters, this is the kingdom I want you to be a part of. Don't ignore it just because you can't see it. But it's like, God, I want to engage with you and your kingdom, and I want to exercise faith and hope and belief and not go to doubt because I don't see it. But I am stepping in with faith because I know that that's the currency of heaven, of the kingdom of heaven. And that's what pleases him, right? We know that verse, right? In Hebrews, it's faith that pleases God. It's exercising faith. It's not always operating by what we can see and hear and taste and smell, but it's also going, God, I'm sensing your spirit leading me, and so I'm going to step out in faith because my hope is in you, not in this world, not in my finances, not in the things I own, not in how many people I know, but my faith is in you. My hope is in you. You know, I want to share a little bit about what happened to me this week. So you guys know that I've been having issues with my feet. But I would say for the past month or so, I've been having pain in my calf, my left calf, only my left calf. And it's like my calf was like, it's like there was a knot in it. And so like I would stretch it out and it would hurt and it wouldn't loosen up. So I remember after church one Sunday, I was talking to Mimo, and is she here today? Oh, there she is. And I was talking to her and she goes, "Hey, you better go get that checked out." This was like one of the best advice anybody has given to me. She goes, "You better go get that checked out," because her friend had something similar and she was massaging, and she goes, "This is not, something about this is wrong." So she went to a doctor, she got an ultrasound and found that she had a blood clot. So then I was like, oh, okay. So I made an appointment with my doctor. So I went in this past Wednesday, and so it was interesting because throughout the week, this is the danger of the internet. You start looking on stuff, and then it's like, it could be anything, right? You put pain in your calf, and then it could be, oh, dehydration, it could be this, it could be that, it could be cancer, you know. And then your mind can start going crazy about what it could be, and looking at all the symptoms and all the stuff. So I kind of go, okay, look at the different stuff. So this thing called DVT, deep vein thrombosis, or something like that. And I was like, okay, I think it might be something in those lines, but, and then I just felt like the Lord said, stop, okay? It's good that you have some understanding, but stop, because the more you go, you don't know what you're looking at, so stop. So, okay. So when I went to my doctor, I kind of had an idea of what he was talking about. So that was kind of nice. So when I showed it to him, and he felt my leg, he goes, "You better go get an ultrasound today or tomorrow. Get it right now. Don't hesitate." So I was like, oh man. My doctor's pretty chill. So when he said, "You better go today or tomorrow or real soon," I knew that this was something serious. So made the appointment. So the next day I was able to get in. But it was interesting because as I looked back at that, what was happening, there were moments where I was getting a little bit like, oh man, what if this is a blood clot that's forming? And what if it breaks off? And then, you know, just all these thoughts about, well, it could go up, travel up to my lungs and, or, you know, whatever. And Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about some things. Do not be anxious about little things. Do not be anxious about things you can handle. Do not be anxious about anything. About anything. But with prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And then what happened? What's the promise? The peace. The peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And so I repeated that to myself. I repeated that, okay. No, God, you got your way. You're going to do something. So I go in for the ultrasound, completely at peace. Even Jackson went with me. He goes, "Are you okay, Papa?" And I was like, "Yeah." He goes, "Are you nervous?" And I go, No, because I have the peace of God. God's going to be with me. So I go in. They start scanning. And then in the middle, I go, "Hey," to the technician, "are you seeing anything?" And she goes, "I can't tell you." And I was like, okay, thanks for nothing. So she goes, "I can't tell you because, yeah, you have certain rules and laws." But she goes, "If I find something, I'm going to have to keep you here." And I was like, "Ooh, okay. And then so again, go back, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. Okay. So the peace of the Lord just kind of coming over me, and I'm just going through it. So then she finishes, and she goes, "Okay, you're done. You can go." So then I was like, "Okay, I know you can't say anything, but does that mean you didn't find a DVT or anything?" She goes, "Well, I'm letting you go, so you can come to your own conclusions." I'm like, man, okay, this lady's awesome. That's awesome. So she says, yeah, you're good. So you're good to go. You're good to go. You can come to your own conclusions. So I just felt like, wow, Lord, you're totally with me. And in all this time, I'm texting back and forth with Pastor Barry, and he goes, you know, on Wednesday night, the intercessors were praying for you. I'm like, oh, really? They were? He goes, yeah. And I'm going, you know, yeah, I can tell, because there was more peace over me. It wasn't just, I believe that it was part of just meditating upon God's word, but I also believe it was people that were praying for me and lifting me up and placing me in God's hands, that I just feel like, wow, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So I share these three stories because I want us to understand it's not because these three people have a pastor before their first name. Okay? The title has nothing to do with the situation. Each one of us, and I'm sure there are stories out here, and we'll hear some of those stories today, that each of us that believe in Jesus have taken him as their Lord and Savior. We have this opportunity to operate like this, where the things of the world do not shake us because our hope is in him. It's when we decide to go along, you know, like that whole chosen thing, when we go along with the other fish and go along with what, hey, the world says it's okay to freak out. You should be freaking out if there's health issues, if there's big challenges that face you. You should be. That's the normal thing to do. But Jesus wasn't like everyone else. And what he's calling us to do too is to say, I want you to swim according to the way I'm swimming. And for a lot of that, that's against the current. That's against what all the other fish are doing. You follow me. That's how you're going to find your life, if you lay it down. And instead of trying to figure everything out, like that peace that goes beyond all comprehension. If we have to figure out that peace, we're not going to get it. If we need to figure it all out, we're not going to get it. And it's the same thing with life. If we need to have all the answers before we step with faith into something, we're going to miss it. And so the thing is, we need to stay humble, stay submitted, stay close to the Lord, listening for his voice, listening for what he wants to say to us, how he's leading us, and then go, okay, God, I don't know everything. I don't know all this whole way of where you're going, but I know you're telling me the first step is to take and to go here. So I say yes to you. Even though it may not even make sense. I don't get it. Why? What is this going to lead? What is this going to do for anything? Doesn't matter. He's not saying, I want you to understand the whole process. He's saying, I want you to be in obedience with me and take that first step. And as you do that, we're going to see more things unfolded in our lives. But we need to put that hope into him, the faith and the trust into him. Okay, it's good. So this morning, I want to bring up two guys, Cameron and Richard, one at a time. I'll bring them up. Don't come charging the stage. I'm going to bring them up one at a time, and they're going to share just some stories about what God is doing. And I want us to, as we're listening to this, that even as they finish and everything, that it's not like this, hey, good job, good for you. But it's this thing where God wants to do, he wants us to share testimonies because he wants to do it again in our lives. So as I was praying for this service, I just felt like, Lord, I pray that as we share, these guys share, that we listen to these stories and that we are encouraged, that our faith is uplifted, that we go, yes, Lord, you are the one I put my hope in. You are the one I put my hope in. But the third thing was that it creates a fire in us, a hunger, that we say, I want that. What they have, what they went through, I want that. I want that. So let's have Cameron. I think Cameron was the first one. Where is he? Oh. Come on up, buddy.
Hey, Pastor Russ. Hello. So I'm going to share a little bit about what's been happening since the VBS, the Apologetics kind of Forensic Faith Camp. So that was in December, and ever since then, I was kind of preparing for the, I guess, the lessons and kind of the material, and I start reading a lot more about just different books from different authors, pastors, to just to get to know more about how to defend the Christian faith. And ever since then, people come up to me randomly at the bar and they ask me questions.
Okay. Can you share about this bar?
Yeah.
Like, he's not just like, hey. You know,
So it's a place I've been going to for about 13 years. I've had bad days there, really bad nights there. But I think now, you know, God redeems things and changes, you know, how I'm there at the bar. So there's actually two bars, but yeah.
And you're developing relationships, yeah. And you get to know people and they're getting to know you.
But before, no one would come up to me and ask me things. But ever since March, I would get people who I've never seen before who would just come up to me and start asking me questions about life. Does God exist? I got someone come up to me out of nowhere and say, how can I trust that the Bible is written fairly and accurately out of nowhere? It's only when I started kind of reading and getting prepared. So I'll share a couple things that happened in the last couple months. I think there's a total of like 8 encounters, I think, but I think these two would be really good to kind of go with the message of hope. So about 2 months ago, I was sitting there watching a Dodger game, eating my BLT sandwich at night, and the guy sitting next to me, he's 71, and he asked me about what's on the TV. He goes, oh, do you like all this AI stuff that's happening? And I kind of gave my opinion on that, and he ended up talking about, well, do you think we'll just be able to, you know, have our brain and AI later, so we can live forever? And I said no. And then I mentioned, so do you believe in anything? Like, you know, what are your thoughts? And the books I've been reading, a book called Tactics. It's really good just to ask questions and get to know them before, you know, you kind of just start dropping all these things on them, because it can get a little uncomfortable for them. So I'm just asking him questions, and he ends up saying, yeah, I end up believing there's a God, but I've done too many things in my life, so I'm not worthy. So what's funny is another guy next to him heard that, and it seemed like he was a believer because he was telling him about, you know, Jesus and everything, and I was just making sure he was saying the right stuff. So I didn't say anything yet. And then I jumped in at the end and just said, you know, you don't have to do anything. You know, Jesus did it all on the cross. And he told me, he goes, no, I've done too many things. It won't matter. And, you know, this guy's an older gentleman, and he was saying, I've just done too many bad things. I'm not worthy. And I told him again, I said, I was like, you don't have to do it. Trust me. I was telling you the truth. You know, Jesus has died for you. You know, if you put your trust in him, you know, all of these things that you've done in the past, they don't matter. And he just looks down and he goes, this is the best news I've ever heard in my life. That's what he said.
Thank you, Lord.
And he goes, so that's it. He goes, I want to believe. And the other guy said, yeah, you know, believe. And he goes, well, he's like, I'm so glad I came to the bar tonight. And, you know, that's the best news I've ever heard in my life. And then he ended up buying me a drink, and then he left. So that was kind of the first one. And the more recent one happened, this is about 2 weeks ago. So I was at the other bar, and the bartender I've known for a few years, about 5 years, and I go outside because they didn't turn the AC on in there, and I was sweating, eating my steak sandwich. So I go outside, then the bartender follows me outside. He's never done this before. I've only had a few conversations with him, and he puts his, he sits down next to me, and he puts his head between his legs, and he starts breaking down and starts crying. And he goes, Cam, my whole life is a mess. I'm working two jobs. I don't see my friends. I have no hope. I don't know what I'm going to do with work. And I don't know what I'm doing. I haven't seen my friends because I work 7 days a week. And you know, when he said that, you know, I really felt for him. And he's mentioned he had an economics degree. So we go back inside, and I finish my meal. And I say, you know, someone in the accounting-related field in my division, you know, they went on long-term leave, and we don't think they're coming back. So I can text my boss and maybe see if there's something there. So I text my boss at 9 o'clock, and I expect a result. And he goes, yeah, if you're recommending him, let's bring him on board. And he can skip the whole process of all the people. So I told him that, and I said, you know, you have full benefits and everything. That's kind of what you wanted. He couldn't believe it. I said, you have an interview in 3 days, so show up there. So I interviewed him with the other controller. He interviewed with the branch manager. But he just finished his second full week at work, and he's loving it. And he's so grateful. And, you know, I just want to hope that he can, you know, learn that Jesus, you know, really cares for him. But it was kind of unbelievable because we had all these other people in line for the interviews, and my boss just said, hey, if you're saying he can do it, we're just going to hire him. Like, he's already in. That's kind of what he said. So it was a pretty awesome thing that happened. So,
yeah. Wow. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, it was good. That's good, Cameron. You know, and I also want to encourage you that, you know, and this is for all of us, that the Lord, there are seasons that we go through where the Lord is training us up. The Lord is like, I got something for Cameron. So, but yet where he is right now, he's not ready to enter into that promised land right now. So I need to train him up. So there was things that was on your heart, passions, and to read these books, and you were practicing with the kids and everything, and that's so awesome. And then when the time was right, God just goes, okay, let's bring all these people to you, and you'll be able to minister to them.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's part of, you know, Pastor Barry talked about the patience, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of times we don't have enough patience. We're just, come on, we'll do it now. Mm-hmm. But it's like the Lord has his timing. And I think what you went through is just an awesome example.
Yeah, the last part about, so when I went back after this guy got hired, people there that I know, they were saying, oh, how's he doing at your place? They're saying, and they said, oh, he's probably going to fail. And they said all these kind of bad things. And I said, why would you say that? Like, oh, well, you know, he doesn't deserve that. He doesn't all these things. And, you know, a few people were saying that. And I was really surprised. But it made me think about this prophetic word I got at the leadership gathering we went through a few months ago. So Walter's son, Oliver, he wrote me something. And it was... you're standing in front of a painting and you see something special about it, but everyone else that walks by says it's ugly. So maybe think about that when those people are saying all those, you know, kind of mean things to, you know, their old coworker. So that was kind of cool to think about that.
Yeah, that's so cool, man. Thank you. Yeah, good. Thanks, Cameron. Wow, so cool. Okay, the next one I want to bring up is Richard Alvaron. Yeah, he's got some stories for us, too.
Man, there's a lot of people in here. This morning, I was thinking about when I was coming up to share. God has been doing a lot in my family, in my home, and really changing my perspective as a father. And I've been doing the coaching program with Ida, and it's really like having an impact on my son Richard, and he's on the spectrum, of course, but he's not as severe. So, you know, the being able to just kind of lay a foundation from where we were starting was just pretty much just, you know, cut and dry on every area, you know. And God has really been speaking to my heart about, reminding me about my desire to be a good father, right? And God has given me just a heart for my family in such a new way since we've came to Catalyst. And on that note, I do want to thank Catalyst, everyone here that has involved themselves with my family. You have blessed us so much. Thank you guys all for that. I really appreciate that, that has taken the time and have invested in my family. Now, in this program, I didn't really have an expectation what was going to become of it. I really didn't really understand it, but it was new to me. So we started doing it, and we just immediately I started just kind of just jumped in head first and just started just doing all of the things that it was telling me to do. The coaching program was really good because what it started doing is it started giving me a direction. Right. And that's the first thing we ask God. Right. We're like, God, I need to know how to do something, how to do it and why I'm doing it. And that's exactly the answers that I got. So when we began to start implementing a lot of the structures and the things it was giving us, was the very first lesson that it started to teach us was the heart connection that we have with our kids. Right. And I kind of found out that I don't have any connection with any of my kids. Like, I'm a dad, but that's it. You're going to do what I say, and that's basically the foundation that they have, right? So the thing is, it's like, man, when you start doing that, you start to notice something in everything that you don't do. And I even told Stephanie, I was like, you know what? It's easy to see your kids everything that they're not. So this is where my heart is. Like, I'm just like, man, dude, like, you're finding out that you're, like, you feel like you're failing. Right, you're just like, dang, man, this is hard. Because you want better for your kids, right? Just as a parent, right? Every parent can agree with that, right? You want good for your kids. You want them to succeed. You want them to learn and to grow, right? To have a righteous foundation, right, in God, right? That's what we want, right? But it starts here at home, right? It starts here, right? So God's really nice, by the way. God's really nice, man. He just starts, gently showing you everything that you're not, okay? So, but the good part about that is because he's so gracious, right? Is like, you're like, man, okay, since I don't really have real connection with Richard, like, he's afraid of me, but in a bad way, right? Because it's like, if you don't do this, then you're in trouble, right? And I started noticing that when I would walk in the room, he'd be like, man, Dad, you scared me. And I started seeing that, and it was breaking my heart because I was like, I don't want to be afraid of me. Like, and the hard part is, though, because it's like you start to see. God's opening your eyes. You're starting to see, right? So God's starting to show my heart, like, your desires aren't bad. They're just in the wrong place, right? You want structure, but you're just giving it the wrong way. God's so nice about it. So I'm just like, so I start developing, right? So, and I see change in Richard. He starts walking up to Dad, and he's like, man, Dad, I love you. And I'm just like, trying not to cry, like, you know what I mean? Like, dang, like, okay, you know? And I get to sit down with him, and I tell him, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. It's okay. You're not in trouble, you know? And a good example of that was, I don't know. I have a lot of stuff. I don't know. It's just a lot. I don't know. But because I get to, like, there's a lot of points where you get to down and you cast a vision for them, right? And you get them to start to believe the things that God is doing, right? But you're establishing that relationship with them, so I get to sit on his bed with them, and now we're talking, right? So I'm talking with them, and I'm, like, catching a vision with them, and we're starting to learn about, taking breaks and, doing all these things that they need to start doing to receive instruction, right? So now I get to tell them, and God is reversing that whole fear thing, right? So God's like, so now when I tell him something, he doesn't shut down. He's like, okay, Dad. So he goes into the room and he makes his bed. I could never get him to make his bed. I had to stand there and be like, Richard, you need to make your bed right now, right? And then I was like, if you don't, you're gonna get in trouble. You need to get it done. And he's mad, like, fighting it, like he doesn't want to do it. Now when I ask him, I'm like, Rich, put the TV on pause and go make your bed. I need you to do it right now. And he's like, okay, Dad. So he goes in the room, and he makes his bed. He makes sure that it's neat. And then he comes back, and he tells me, Dad, I'm done. So I go in there and go check it. And I'm like, dude, you did awesome, right? You did great, man. Good job. And he goes, I'm learning adult skill, huh, Dad? And I say, yes, you are. Right? And I was like, man, I'm excited because to him, that's the greatest thing in the world. Dad, I'm going to be an adult like you. Man, I almost lost it. Because I was like, dang, man, like God was doing something in my family. And it's starting right here. And God began to cast a vision for my family. And it doesn't stop there with him. It's starting to spill over into my daughter's life. She's just turned 15. So we just went to Legoland. We went to Legoland on last Monday. It was right before school started, and it was like our whole like last summer trip to go down there for a couple days, and we're gonna have a great time, man. And we're like, dude, this is it, right? Because the boys love Legoland. We normally go to Knott's Berry Farm and stuff like that. But it wasn't really geared towards them, the boys, right? For Jacob and Richard, right? So our focus was to make sure that they have a great end of the summer, right? As well as Julie, right? So, and Julie's such a great help because she'll, spend time with the boys so they get to, like, make sure that they're bonding, they're going on rides together, they're doing something that they love to do, right? So, man, I'm like, all right, we take off and we're driving down to San Diego and we hit traffic, right? Man. God, I'm already upset. I'm just like, dude, we're already an hour late. We're supposed to be down there, right? So I'm just like, dang. So my wife tells me, she's like, you know what? Just take the toll road. Take 73 and just go. And I was like, are you sure? She's like, yeah. And I was like, all right. Screw stall traffic, hit the 73 and we get there, right? So and then my wife tells me, like, hey, we need to go check in the hotel. So I was like, and it's like 10 o'clock in the morning. So we're like, I don't know, is that even okay? Like, I'm glad I listened to her. Because when we got to the hotel, like, they had a problem with our check-in. So I'm hot. I'm just like, dude, like, it keeps happening. Like, I'm like ready. Like, to have a great weekend, right? To have a great couple of days. I'm like, man, God, we're so blessed, right? Like, dang. So we get there, and it takes a whole nother hour to check in. Like, man, we already paid for the reservation, by the way, right? So we went through third party, right, and we paid for it already. So they don't have the virtual card that they need to be able to finish the check-in. That's all that they need. So we're on the phone for an hour, and it's a mess. Hour passes by, we finally get checked in. By this time, I'm already defeated. I'm just like, dude, we're late at the park. We haven't ate breakfast. Like, this is a mess, right? So we're in there. And then finally, we throw our stuff in the hotel. Nice room, by the way. So then we get there. And then we take off, and we get to the park, right? And we're in the park, and, it's like, we're going to go on this ride, and the boys are going to love it, and we're going to have a great day, and then we're going to go eat lunch, and then we're going to have all these things ready for them to do, and, man, we get on our first ride. And Richard has a meltdown, complete loss, lost his mind. He got on the ride. I was like, come on, let's go. Let's get on the ride right now. Like, we waited the whole time in the line, right? And it was supposed to be the fast pass. It wasn't even fast. Like, we waited the whole time, and we got on the ride, and he was just like, I don't want to get on here, man. He takes his 3D glasses, and he throws them on the ride in the tracks. And the lady's like, she's looking at the glasses in the track, and I'm just like, and I was like, he's fine. Don't worry about it. He's fine. And she's like, I need a thumbs up. And Richard's like, yeah. And I was like, all right, we got to get up. We got to get up. Come on, Richard, let's go. So we get off the ride, right? And I'm hot. I'm mad at him, man. I'm just like, dude, lost it. So I was just like, Richard, are we supposed to act that way? And he's like, no. I was like, well, what did you do wrong? I threw the glasses. And I was screaming, and I said, yes, go sit over there and go take a break, right? Totally not the way I was supposed to handle that. I'm mad at him right now. I'm just hot. I'm like, hey, Richard, like, hey, this is just not going well. So then we get on our way, and I was like, come on, Rich, it's okay. Like, you know, just forget about it. So we go on our way, and then we get to this other park that Jacob likes, right? And he takes off, like, and we lose him. Like, we lost him in the park. Like, we can't find him. I was like, I went to go get something, and then I come back, and I was like, where's Jacob? And they're like, I don't know. We don't know where he went. Like, man, me, Joanna, and Julie just disperse. And we're just, like, all in the shops looking for him. And then Julie finds him, right? And by this time, me and my wife are like, you want to go? And I was like, yeah. I'm just done. We're done. Like, today was a disaster. Like, it was a complete disaster. So then finally, when we get back to the hotel, like, I'm sitting on the bed, and I'm kind of just, like, watching TV, and I'm just, and I quietly just hear God begin to just prompt my heart. And God says that, did you do anything that the boys wanted to do? And I was like, no, I didn't. That day was about me, and it wasn't about the boys. And it broke my heart. So I told my wife, I was like, dang, like, I think I did this day totally wrong. Like, God began to speak to my heart. And I was like, dang, man. I was like, I felt bad because I was like, I planned the day, but it wasn't around them. I just had this expectation that I was, you know, I was going to make sure that it was right and that it was what I thought it was supposed to be and that they were going to enjoy it. Right? Bad, bad, bad dad. So I made up my mind. I was like, you know what, man? Like, I felt horrible. And I was like, man. And I was like, tomorrow's another day. Like, we're going to do it again tomorrow. Like, we get a second day. We get a second chance. So I told my wife, and I was like, you know what? We're going to go, and we're going to do whatever that they want to do. They're going to take us to the park tomorrow. And sure enough, man, that whole day was a whole brand new day. Like, God changed my heart because I was now operating under God's grace. And God was showing me, like, hey, like, it's not the expectation that we have, but God says it's okay to do what they want to do. We're there for them anyway, right? It's just I thought I was supposed to do things a certain way. And God showed me that I was wrong. So now, like, we went to the park, and God began to just change the whole day. Those kids left blessed. They were burnt out. They were burnt out. And we had a great time the second day, and then we got to just drive home. You know, so God was, like, teaching me that it was okay to be wrong. It was okay to just be like, you know what, like, you know, just change what you think that you're supposed to do. Be humble enough. And God was showing me what that looks like. So now I was like, man, being able to just, like, talk to my wife about me being wrong, like, it was okay. I didn't have a problem with it. God was casting vision for my family. I was telling Ida yesterday on the Zoom meeting that we were having yesterday, and I said, you know, she goes, I've seen a lot of, like, she goes, I don't see a lot of men, like, kind of go through the program. And she was telling me how, you know, they're not as invested as I see you. And I said, you know what? I go, I don't have a career. I don't, you know, I didn't graduate high school. But my desire was growing up was that I always wanted my own family. And I have older kids, and you can tell that they're not part of my life right now. But the whole thing is, it's like, it shows those failed attempts to try to get something that you desire, right? And a lot of times we'll do that. You know, we'll jump ahead of God, and we'll try to make these decisions, whether you're with God or with not. But that's your desire, right? And God wants to do that in my life, though. And when we started coming to Catalyst, that came alive. Now, I've been walking with God for about 10 years now, maybe a little bit longer. But the whole thing is that God has been really just shaping me to be the father that I desire to be. Right? So that's the blessing that God is giving me in my family, you know? And the other day, last story, my daughter began to notice. Remember I was saying that how, you know, it's spilling over? Well, this is that example with that. What has happened was that we were sitting on the table and we were eating dinner or lunch. And she started noticing that we were focusing on Richard a lot. Like, we're like, I'm working with them, like she's working with them. Like, we're so in tune to making sure that he's learning all these foundational tools that they're giving us to use. And she's like, well, you know what, Dad? It's like, it's not just for him, it's for all your kids. And I was like, oh yeah, you're right. And she's like, well, you're not really like, you know, doing anything like, you know, with me. So I was like, I am, but you just don't see it. And I was like, what happened last time I talked to you about it? What did you tell me? I told you that I wasn't your little project. And I said, exactly. I go, I can't deal with things the way I deal with them with Richard with you. I go, you're on a whole nother level. So I got to like start to be able to teach you things in a way that you don't notice. And she's like laughing. She's like, okay. And I was like, yeah, you know. But what it showed me was that her desire to be a part of, you know, what God is doing. And then it's like, dude, she wants that too. So God is like spilling over, not just in Richard, but also in my oldest daughter. So now it's now everyone now. So God, not only did he cast vision, but he's bringing that vision to pass for my family. Talk about hope, huh?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, like, man, dude. And then it was like, our conversations are just meaningful now. Like, just loving touch in every area for my daughter, for my son Jacob, and for Richard. And then me and my wife are just like, we're exploding. I can't even get into that story because there's a lot going on in there. But the whole thing is, though, it's just like, because we're seeing like things happen with our children, and it's what we've always wanted. So that's kind of all I got to share, but that's just what God is doing in our family. So
thanks, Richard. Really, thank you. Thank you for sharing with us testimony of what God is doing in your life. And I'm listening to you and I'm going, I want that for my life. I want that. I want to connect with my kids in the way that you are connecting. I want that. And so I'm going to bring it to the Lord and we'll see what happens. But yeah, so good. Thank you. Thank you. Are you guys feeling uplifted? Are you feeling encouraged? Hopeful? Yeah? Because God wants so much more for us than we could even imagine. We can imagine the greatest things, but God wants even more than that for us. And so, yeah, my hope is that you're encouraged. You're encouraged today. All right, let's pray. Worship team, come on up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, you are so good. You are so good. And we thank you for the way that you move in our lives, that the way you treat us, because just what Richard was talking about today, you do the same thing for us as your sons and daughters. You want to stay heart connected with us. And you are kind. And you are good. And you are trustworthy. And someone that we can put all of our hope in. So thank you, Lord, for our time this morning. Thank you that the overflow that is coming from Lauren to the worship team to just all the people that spoke up here would just overflow and even overflow onto each other as we're sitting in the congregation, that hope would just overflow to each of us so that no matter what we're going through, that we always feel like God has one more move. God has one more move. He's not checkmated. I'm not checkmated. God has one more move, even though I can't see it. But he has one more move, and we always have that hope. So thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.